Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the snap. Oh, it almost went over his head. Jackson has it, but he's wrapped up around the ankles, and he fumbled the football. It's scooped up by Von Miller, coming the other way, 30, and he's tackled at the 23-yard line by Justice Hill. Damar Hamlin forced the fumble.
That was Bills radio, Chris Brown, and that was a big moment in the game, even though it was early in the game, because the Ravens were driving. The score was tied. That handed the ball to Buffalo in plus territory, Pearl, and they scored four plays later. 14-7 was the lead at that point, and then the Ravens were playing catch up the rest of the game, including and up to the final play, second to last play. I guess there were a couple kneel downs. You know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
The 2-point conversion after Lamar Jackson to Isaiah Likely touchdown. They go for two, and Mark Andrews dropped the football.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who did a better coaching job, Sean McDermott in Buffalo or John Harbaugh in Baltimore? I put it to you, Maggie Gray.
Well, you know that I have a little bit of a checkered, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in Sean McDermott.
Nope.
Because he gets really conservative in big games. I thought they should have tried to punch the ball in for a touchdown when they're there at the 2-yard line. Tony Romo thought they should have done back-to-back tush pushes, which would have been something. If the Eagles had done it, we would have said, wow, that's so brilliant. But instead, Josh Allen runs into the middle of the line, and then they get super conservative. They take the points. Now, ultimately, did that end up working? Yes, but you needed an all-time boneheaded play that will go down in Ravens history for all the wrong reasons of Mark Andrews dropping that 2-point conversion.
Wait, so let me get this straight.
Yeah. I thought McDermott got too conservative.
I just want to understand, like, your X's and O's. It's 3rd and 2. You run Josh Allen on a play that works all the time, and he gets stonewalled. Probably loses a half a yard. So now it's 4th and 2 at a long 2. You're going to go for it on a field where everyone's slipping around. Like, you're going to risk basically the game. Instead of going up by 8 points, you're going to go for it there on a play in normal percentages would be a good percentage play, but in that weather, I don't know. And what play are you going to run? You're just going to run into the line on 4th and 2? You just had your number one play, which is Josh Allen storming through the line, and it got nowhere because they knew it was coming. I think that would be a gutsy call and a dumb call, because I don't think it would have worked.
Okay, well, here's the thing. And again, McDermott is proven right here, because the Ravens could not execute the 2-point play. But even if you miss on the 4th down, you're giving them the ball at the 2-yard line. So now they have to drive 98 yards.
They drove 88 yards.
Okay.
Because there was a penalty on the next kickoff.
I understand, but you are still asking that offense to do quite a bit. I thought being conservative there, I didn't love it. Now, granted, I'm proven wrong. What did Marv Levy always say? You start listening to the fans, you'll be sitting with them. So, but this has been a pattern for Sean McDermott, and he gets conservative. And we had a caller last hour who said if he gets conservative against Kansas City, you might be going home. At some point, you need something ballsy. And I'm not saying reckless. I never said reckless. I didn't think it would have been reckless to go for two. But anyway, the bigger kind of takeaway from the game, because we have all week to talk about the Bills and Kansas City, is about Lamar Jackson.
Well, that's what I was about to say. John Harbaugh did not show himself well last night.
Why do you think so?
Well, because it just felt like he had a team that was on a bad field and bad conditions, and he didn't have them pumped up for the situation. Like, the Bills seemed like they were thrilled to be there, and the Ravens felt tight. There's no way. They came out on the first drive and were really, really good, But then after that, I just felt like that was not their A game. And I'm not going to blame, I will blame the players for not playing their A game, but like Harbaugh's got to inspire this team. Like they keep coming up short in the playoffs. Was he really having them believe in themselves? I did not see that on the field.
Wait, do you think this had more to do with John Harbaugh not inspiring his team or the fact that the best player on the field had a bad interception and a bad fumble in the first half? You don't think that rattled guys at all? Or your all-pro tight end dropped a pass,
I don't know,
fumbled the ball, and then could hang on to a two-point conversion? I mean, the players choked this one.
I saw 50 Bills who were just ready to go on Sunday and just do to anything. I thought the Ravens got nervous. I really do. I think that they were tight for this game. I think that it's a lot of pressure that's mounting on Lamar Jackson. And I don't think, like, John Harbaugh's game plan was okay, but I felt like, I don't know, I thought he should have kept the ball on the ground a little bit more early, just try to not let that lead out of control. Then the play where Lamar fumbled, it was a shotgun snap where they probably should have been running the ball anyway. And Lamar should have just killed the ball because the play was all messed up from the beginning. They just had to play the elements more, and that meant be conservative from the beginning. I know they had a couple big pass plays early, but then it got crappy out. Like, they just needed, I want to see Lamar run the ball. I want to see Derrick Henry run the ball. And I want to go down that way. The second year in a row where they've lost a playoff game where Lamar Jackson didn't really get his full load of carries, right? I mean, how many carries did he have? He had a bunch in the first half, but I don't think he had more than 40 yards.
I think you can't have it both ways, though, because you're telling me that Lamar Jackson couldn't play his regular game because the field was so slippery and the field was so bad. So,
but he could
which
run.
Is it?
He could. I just felt like you got to go down with what got you there. I want to see. Remember the Steelers game? Lamar ran three plays in a row at one point. I want to see Lamar running, and I want to see Derrick Henry running. And I think when they got down a little bit, they got a little panicky. They still, basically, they could not let the Bills get a lead because the Bills just want to run the ball. That's all they want to do all year long. So you have to match them with your conservative. You said that Sean McDermott gets too conservative. You better be conservative against the Chiefs because that's what they want to do. They're going to get very, very conservative. I want to see Lamar, if he's going to lose, he ran six times for 39 yards. I want to see him run 15 like the Steelers. That Steelers game was unstoppable. It was Derrick Henry, Lamar, Derrick Henry, Lamar, Derrick Henry, Lamar. I'm not quite sure what happens to the Ravens in these moments. I'm not saying it was all John Harbaugh's fault, but I think McDermott presented himself well. I just don't think John Harbaugh had any great game plan to counter the Bills.
Well, I think the way that it went was credit to Sean McDermott because he's really in charge of the defense and he had them ready to go. You're right about that. Yeah. They held Derrick Henry to under 100 yards rushing, which was going to be a key to this game. 16 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. He almost broke a huge one and basically got tackled by like the shoelaces. I mean, that was close in the third quarter, and he did have one amazing drive in the third quarter, and it brought the score to within two. They couldn't convert on a two-point conversion to Isaiah Likely because Matt Milano got like a finger on the ball. But Sean McDermott's credit, they were blitzing a lot in the first half, and they were stuffing the line of scrimmage with the run game. And then in the second half, check out Lamar. He's got time. Like, the Bills kind of sagged, went back to that bend-don't-break thing.
Playing the game in front of him.
Right, and Lamar had all this time, so you're wondering, why didn't he run? He had opportunities. He's dancing back there in the pocket looking for guys. He had opportunities to run.
He did move the ball pretty well in that
second. They did, right. So I don't know how you nitpick here. I guess here's my big takeaway on this. I do agree with one of our callers who called in earlier that if Josh Allen had turned in Lamar Jackson's game, I think that he would be facing the same, if not more, criticism. Because Josh Allen would have gotten criticized for throwing the ball away in a bad interception and fumbling the ball. Because you would have said he had an issue with turnovers in his career, and so here it was rearing its ugly head again. This was uncharacteristic of Lamar because he's played such a clean season.
No. This is so, EJ pointed out the stats, right? It was very characteristic of him in the playoffs.
Okay, in the playoffs. So,
and I think McDermott saw, Spagnuolo knew the same thing. Dare Lamar to drop back in the pocket because he's going to fumble the ball. That's what actually it wasn't him last year, but they knew like eventually Baltimore in their pass game is less effective because they're prone to turnovers. They fumbled the ball against Kansas City last year. They fumbled the ball this year. If they had they came out against Pittsburgh with the ultimate game plan. They're like, we're not going to risk anything. We are just going to use our offensive line, which is bigger than your defensive line. We are just going to roll downhill against you. And for somehow McDermott got the game in his control. I don't even know how he did it.
Because Lamar fumbled.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why. It's these little mistakes.
Even before that, I thought, like, wow, why is it Baltimore running away?
I mean, here's the thing, right? You knew that this was going to be a close game, or you thought. The first one, first time around, was not close. Ravens won 35-10 going away. But you knew this one was going to be a lot closer. So what do you think is going to decide it?
The turnovers.
It's going to be turnovers. Yeah. It's going to be guys making mistakes. It's going to be guys not being able to handle the ball. Now, listen, kick save and a beauty for Lamar, the final touchdown drive. That thing was awesome. He showed why he's the MVP a lot of different times last night, Pearl. But that touchdown drive was fantastic. And the two-point conversion failed. And you put that more on Mark Andrews. So Mark Andrews is definitely wearing it a lot more than Lamar. But Lamar can't just skirt any kind of blame here. Just like if the roles were reversed, Josh Allen wouldn't skirt any kind of blame if that was Dalton Kincaid that dropped that two-point conversion. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I just think that Lamar's now got this postseason thing he has to wear, where Josh Allen's really good in the postseason. So there's a slight difference there. Josh Allen's stats are amazing in the postseason. Lamar Jackson's stats are well below his regular season in the postseason.
Right,
there's
which
just
is
no
I,
way around it.
I really thought this year, I'm telling you, I know his postseason failures. Lamar has not played as well in the postseason as the regular season. And I said that's why I was picking the Bills on Friday, is so only simply because of that. But I thought the fact that Josh Allen has cleaned up his turnovers, at least until this point, I thought Lamar was going to be able to do the same thing. So I, quite frankly, I was really surprised that he was responsible for those two turnovers in the first half. I really was.
And can we stop talking about both turnovers? The first turnover was not significant. It was 2nd and 11. It was about to be 3rd and 11. They weren't looking good on that drive.
He threw
a 40-yard arm punt. Did kill me.
No, but they had also been converting on 3rd and long. They had converted a 3rd and long already.
Yeah. Okay, but the fumble was much, much bigger.
Yes.
And Mark Andrews' fumble was much bigger. They're like the Lions. I just don't know, like, what gets them over the top. I'm not sure with these Ravens team, because next year, there's no guarantee they'll be back in this position, but they kind of got to get home field. I know, okay, there is bad weather in Baltimore. Like, they want that game in Baltimore. Buffalo coming to Baltimore, I'm sorry. I don't care if the weather's bad at both places. That's a huge, huge difference in this game.
855-212-4227. Is there a question on whose loss was worse, Detroit or Baltimore? To me, it's hands down. It was Detroit, right?
They're both brutal in different ways. It's brutal for Lamar Jackson because he's going to win his third MVP with limited playoff success. But you're right, it's brutal for the Lions, but I think you and I disagree with this. It is brutal for the Lions, but I think the Lions, we kind of raised the bar a little artificially high on the Lions after all those defensive injuries.
We'll never see it coming.
No, I cannot do the revisionist history on the Lions, like, oh, they deserve the participation trophy. I know they lost a lot of players on defense. They still hung on for the number one seed, which they won in week 18. They were at home facing a rookie quarterback and a team that was the bottom feeder of division for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden has turned it around.
Well, yeah, but their quarterback just completely panicked, which is not that shocking that Jared Goff panicked. Like, actually, if you step back, like, oh, okay, yeah, Jared Goff, oh, I forgot about that guy. Didn't everyone say that? It's different. Lamar Jackson blowing it is one thing. Jared Goff blowing it, you're like, okay, yeah, I can see that happening.
Well, there was a moment where I was being told Jared Goff was the MVP.
Yeah, yeah,
until
no,
he threw five picks against the Texans, that Jared Goff was staunchly in the MVP conversation.
No, he was great this year. There's no way about it. And he made some beautiful, beautiful throws, even though he was obviously probably concussed for half the game. He's still good, but he can panic. Remember the 13-3 Patriots Super Bowl? Like, he's got some bad games in him. That's why I think part of the reason it's the Lions is not as shocking, because of the star power with Lamar. Lamar is just way too good to not get to the Super Bowl.
Raise your hand if you remember that Teddy Bridgewater was on the Lions. I had forgotten that, considering he was coaching high school football in Florida up until like a month ago.
I listened to Bogus, and I listened to his updates, unlike most people in this room.
Yeah, sure.
So therefore, I knew he was back.
That's definitely why he knew.
Yeah.
Well, Bogus did the story that Teddy Bridgewater just coached a season of high school. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
I couldn't believe it. He came out on the field like, no way. And they actually designed up a really nice play, an end around for Jameson Williams that was a great trick play. Unfortunately, that was the end of the good trick plays for Detroit.
If you want to laugh, pull up Detroit's depth chart. Just look at the defensive injuries. I mean, it is. you can look back on that and say, oh, okay, I forgot about that. Like, there are excuses. I'm sorry, there are.
We asked you, do you like NFL playoff games being impacted by the snow? 76% of you say yes. Let's go to Monty, who's in Winnipeg. Monty, what do you think? NFL playoff games in the snow, love it or hate it?
I love it because I grew up in Minneapolis and in the Bloomington area, not far from the old stadium, and we always played our games in cold weather. It's great.
Yeah, listen, you have to know you're not getting the best football. That's the thing, and you have to be okay with that in a playoff game. It's no longer about, is the best team going to win, Perloff? It's now about who can just handle the elements better. And if you're okay with that, then you're okay with snow games in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's NFL. This is not NBA or NHL. It's not indoors. You know, that's part of the history of the game that you play with these conditions. And that's why you try and get home field. That's why you build your team for these weather. That's why teams, like certain teams, win a lot of Super Bowls because they're cold weather teams. You don't see a ton of dome teams winning. That's just the way it's always been.
How about Carl? He's in Colorado. Carl, what do you think of snow games?
Oh, I love snow games. Grew up watching them all the time. I'm a big Patriots and Bears fan. A couple of games I remember Tom Brady doing some great stuff was against Tennessee when he threw for, 380 yards, 6 touchdowns, 29 out of 34. And then the game against Denver the year that Peyton Manning was throwing for 5,400 yards.
Yeah, MVP.
That was another great game where they came out and was a 23-0 at halftime, and the Patriots come back in the second half in the snow.
You know what's so funny, Carl, and thank you for the phone call, dude, is, you know, yesterday that Rams-Eagles game, so snow like crazy, right? Snow globe. Guys were still throwing. At least the Rams were. They were behind. They had to. There was no choice. But even Hurts injured had a couple nice connections to Dallas Goedert when he really needed them.
I think there were degrees of how hard it was to throw the ball at certain times. Because you see one thing from above, then sometimes they go to a camera angle and you're like, oh, this is okay. So it depends. There was one when Kyron Williams fumbled, he was coming off the field and there were flakes about the size of softballs falling on his head. That was a mess. The last drive, I think it cleared up a little bit. I think it stopped snowing, didn't it?
It was kind of hard to tell. I mean, they had some real heavy stuff coming down. Jeff's in Tucson.
There was no choice, but even Hurts injured.
I got to put myself on hold. We have to get to the M&P 500, whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a massive, massive weekend. We will get to that. Go and vote on our polls at Maggie and Pearl on X. Do you like NFL playoff games being impacted by the snow? Also, do you blame weather for the Ravens' loss on Sunday? Perloff thinks that the Ravens' game plan was disrupted because of the cold weather. And then which playoff loss was worse, the Lions losing to Commanders or the Ravens losing to the Bills? Go vote on those polls. We do stock up, stock down next.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, it's Monday. We do the M&P 500, stock up and stock down here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, Maggie, get us started. Since the Bills win, I assume you're going stock up.
You know, I wasn't going to go there, but stock up that this time the bad thing happened to a different team. So, yeah, I guess I'll take a little of that. I actually was going to go stock up. My first one was going to be Cliff Kingsbury. You know, Cliff, I think, was down, obviously, after getting fired with the Arizona Cardinals and then, you know, goes to USC for a year. And then the Commanders. I wasn't sure if he was going to be getting a lot of looks. But now, after the Commanders pulled off this massive upset and Jaden Daniels looks like one of the best rookies to ever play football, stock up Cliff Kingsbury. I think you heard the Dallas Cowboys are interested now, and they may not have been before that game on Saturday night.
Well, that's so funny. I mean, if Todd Monken and the Ravens win, then he's the coach. Whoever wins these final four games, it's basically Joe Brady. If the Bills win the Super Bowl, say bye-bye, if teams can wait for him. Okay, I'll do stock up. I'll stick with my own team. I could go Saquon, obviously, just to rub it in Manny's face, who's a Giants fan. But Jalen Carter is basically, the Eagles were really good last year until he got tired. He had a rookie wall. He was exhausted. It's very exhausting when you're a big man to play all 18 games. This year, no excuse. I feel like, and I always use this word, he feels like our Aaron Donald, like a defensive player or our Chris Jones who could will your way to a Super Bowl. Like, I don't know if the Eagles can win a Super Bowl, but I think Jalen Carter is a Super Bowl player. I don't even know which play to pick out. He made so many plays against the Rams yesterday. You just can't really block him one-on-one at all, and even two-on-one is hard. And God forbid the Rams on the key play at the end of the game put no one on him when they got a huge sack, and they probably should have run the ball. But Jalen Carter is a superstar that the Eagles sort of tripped into with the number 9 overall pick.
Well, if stock's up, stock's got to come down. That's the way it works. A lot of different people I could call out with the Lions, including what I believe to be one of the worst decisions maybe in the history of professional football, which is the trick play to Jamison Williams in a gotta-have-it moment when you're down 10 at home and you're about to be upset by the Commanders. If Cliff Kingsbury is up, I'm going Lions coaching staff down. And it's not just that trick play, Prof, because I know you love the trick plays and they've been working for the Lions all year. But how about 12 men on the field before a crucial fourth down play and hands the Commanders a first and goal? That was unforgivable. You have the TV cameras showing some of the defensive coaches just shouting, like, stop, stop. We have 12 men on the field. Tom Brady's calling it out in the moment. Everybody knew. Where was Aaron Glenn? Where was Dan Campbell? That was a big mistake to start the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was unforgivable. Well, so stock down Lions coaching staff for those two moments.
I don't know. You have two different kinds of mistakes. One's just a mistake. The other is a strategic mistake. I disagree with you on the trick plays because they're the best team in the league at it. And it worked twice, of all things. Basically, everybody throws a pass in Detroit. I didn't know. Jamison Williams, yes, he's probably not the most football smart player we have out there. But still, like, every trick play they've done is magic all year long. Why would you stop? So you're saying they should just get conservative and not play like the Lions?
No, I'm saying there's one thing between a quick shovel pass, shovel play, yeah, and there's another between you're down 10 and you hand the ball to Jamison Williams, who might be the most unpredictable player in the league, asking him to make a low percentage throw and a throw that he probably should have thrown away. But he can't make that good decision. You want to know why? Because Jamison Williams never makes good decisions. So why do you think he would make one there?
But why is that a low percentage throw? I think they've hit every single time they've done that play.
But Jamison Williams hasn't attempted a pass this
year. Yeah, but nobody else had, too. They keep on trying to. They had Penny Sewell try a pass. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's nothing low percentage about the Lions trick plays. They're a high percentage play. It'd be crazy for them to not run them.
It was a pass in coverage.
Well, it was a mistake, but it's generally like the wide receiver pass is a high percentage play for the Lions. It's not a bad call.
Okay. It's not week 12.
That's where I disagree with you. Like, you're saying the Lions should tone it down for the playoffs. No. Perloff, no way.
You can just admit it. It was a dumb play at the wrong time.
No, I don't think so at all. Because if I say that, then I can't have all the good trick plays. I think they had the most ever in any NFL history. I think they had 7 this year. Maybe old school someone used to do it, but they had flea flickers. They had wide receiver passes. They had running back passes. They had fake fumbles. They do everything. And also, they were behind. They needed quick strikes. I didn't hate it at all. I hate that Jamison was on the end of it, but certainly, like, yeah, run your trick plays. And also, you're killing Ben Johnson. I mean, dude had like one of the top 25 offensive productions in a game ever. He had 521 yards.
What does it matter?
I'm just saying, you can't blame the offensive coordinator. I mean, that guy is designing stuff left and right.
It's not Madden. He scored
31 points.
It's your playoffs on the line.
He scored 31 points.
You were down 10. Why would you take the ball out of Jared Goff's hands at that point and
because
put him in Jamison Williams' hands?
Then you have to. So, okay, in week 9, you have to criticize it. In big game, when they have some crazy trick play that, of course, works because 90% of them work. Okay, anyway, my stock down is going to be in Houston. Mm. Explain to me why Bobby Slowick gets a head coach job interviews. Like, what is going on here? He is Matt Canada 2.0. He runs the most conservative offense, and he has no idea how to pick up Steve Spagnuolo's blitz. That was like, that matchup between Steve Spagnuolo and Bobby Slowick was like a adult stealing a lollipop from a child. It was embarrassing from the get-go. I do not know. They should fire him. I'm being serious. I don't want to fire anybody, but they should fire that guy. They need somebody else with C.J. Stroud because he either runs at the wrong time or passes at the wrong time like clockwork.
I was really surprised. The 4th and 10. I know this was controversial. I thought it was a really bad decision to go for a 4th and 10.
So you had no chance.
The score is 20-12, and you are, let's see, into the fourth quarter. It's your first drive of the fourth quarter, and it's a 4th and 10 at the Kansas City 40 when your defense was actually playing well and you're down a score. And then you barely get the ball off, and it's almost a delay of game, and you could have taken a timeout at least to settle yourselves. They don't. C.J. Stroud gets sacked for a 16-yard loss, and that was the second time he'd gotten sacked that took them, way, way out of field goal range. I was not impressed.
Even forget that. Why, if you're in the bottom half of the league in yards and scoring, why are you getting job interviews?
Don't you
have to be like a top 10 offense? Like, you scored 2 points against the Ravens. You scored 12 points in a playoff game. You scored 19 the last time you played. Like, you can't score. So I'm just mystified by the Bobby Slowick thing.
Also, how about the bad beat in that game? We didn't even talk about that. Now, you were spared that bad beat because you had the Texans. What did you have? 8.5, right?
Yeah. I lost a bet because it was 8.5. Then it moved to 9.5. Then it moved to 9. So I got it at 8.5 and lost because they lost by 9.
They lost by 9, but it was.
So I was
nine, spared
the bad beat.
It closed at 9.5. I
but
thought.
I lost. I had the bad beat because Kymie Fairbairn couldn't hit
anything. So the bad beat was that it closed at 9.5.
And also, so
people who laid the 9.5, you thought you had it won until they took a safety.
A lot of people, I heard it closed at 9.
Oh, okay.
But you could get it. You could definitely get it 8.5 on Sunday morning, and then it went to 9.5. And then it came back to 9, so there were some pushes here. But, that was crazy. Why'd they do that? I still don't even understand.
I still don't understand it either, because you took the safety, but you still had so much time left on the clock. It's not like you took a safety and ran out the clock to 2 seconds. Still 11 seconds left.
It didn't affect me one way or the other, so it didn't raise my blood pressure.
I didn't get it. Do we have time for one more round of this? Stock up, stock down? No stock up, someone we have not talked about. How about Sark signing a 7-year contract extension at the University of Texas? He declined 2 NFL head coaching interviews, and that was enough to give him the leverage for a 7-year deal and obviously the success they've had over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, 2 Final Fours in the last 2 years. I understand, like, they're a big program, but they were not at that consistent level of success toward the end of Mack Brown. In fact, since Vince Young, they haven't been in close to that. So happy for him. I'm very curious if they had won, if they had actually advanced and gotten to the title game. I mean, I think Jerry Jones would have had a Brinks truck of money and loaded up for Sark. Because people think of him as the genius play caller, right? Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of how they act, the fact that their offense has been kind of disappointing the last few months, but still, like, he's got like that guru label, whatever it is. Do you buy that for Sark?
It's a label. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm always left with a little to be determined, but the fact is he's getting to the Final Four, so.
Dude, I don't know. He took Quinn Ewers pretty far with some play calling this year. I think their quarterback got hurt. I think his mistake was not going to Arch.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, should they have just gone to Arch? Who's that your last stock up?
Stock up in a losing effort. My guy, Jahmyr Gibbs, sensational. I mean, you really had to play bad at quarterback to not win the game when your running back is playing like that. He was like, it was like lightning striking. I've tried to get everyone on board that he's the most exciting player in the NFL. He had 70 receiving yards, 105 running yards, and they were trailing. Can you imagine if Goff had not given up that fumble early and they went up 14-3, it would have been a steady diet of Jahmyr Gibbs and an easy win for the Lions. But their quarterback had other ideas.
He's just so much faster than everyone else on the field.
I mean, Saquon is also superior. They're both amazing. But Gibbs is a little more like Barry Sanders. Like, you don't know which way his body's going to move at any given time. Saquon just runs through the line and goes 80 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs is, he's insane. He's like the Matrix.
There you go. Actually, one last stock down. The entire NFC North in these playoffs. You're talking about teams that won 15 games, 14 games, and 11 games. Not one of them won a playoff game.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you feast on the weak AFC. They were 14-1 against the AFC, those three teams. Yeah. That happened to the Eagles a couple years ago. You get the right AFC matchup, and you win a ton of games.
Stock up, stock down. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. What's up, dude?
Guys, when seasons end, questions about the future begin for 36-year-old Rams QB Matthew Stafford. Those questions about playing again at all.
You know, as far as my future goes, I mean, it's 30 minutes after the last game, so I'll take some time to think about it, but I feel like I was playing some pretty good ball.
Stafford did glance at his watch as he answered that question.
Did he really?
He did. When asked,
to make sure it was actually 30 minutes.
Exactly.
After the game.
When asked if he had good football left in him, he said, "Sure, feels like it." And head coach Sean McVay gushed over his QB after yesterday's 28-22 divisional round loss in Philadelphia. Stafford's got 2 years left on his deal, but the Rams do have an out this offseason. They'd incur a $50 million dead cap hit, but that is basically nothing these days. Stafford did lose a fumble in the cold and snow yesterday, but he also threw for 324 yards and 2 scores and had the Rams in position to steal a win, but was sacked, then threw incomplete under pressure deep in Eagles territory in the final minute. So the Eagle D finally putting the clamps down on the win after a 205 yards and 2 scores from Saquon Barkley. His second TD gave them a 13-point lead with four and a half minutes to go. As Philly moves towards Sunday's NFC title game with the Commanders, they'll have an eye on Jalen Hurts' knee. He did not want to discuss the knee post-game on Peacock, but was feeling good enough for this.
I don't know if it'll snow next week, but rain, sleet, or snow, Eagles train to go. We'll be ready to go.
Nice little rhyme there.
Rain, sleet, or snow, Eagles train ready to go.
By the way, we are letting Romo really skirt on this one. You know, we love ourselves a little Tony Romo around here, but the fact that he came up with "let James Cook cook" and thought that he had stumbled upon some Shakespeare and then said it again, you think that Nance is loving this? He was not loving that. Nance had to clean that mess on aisle 3.
No. He wants to be, it's like you enjoying me. Like, you like to be with an idiot next to you. You look smarter.
To learn more, visit realizethedream.org.
What a day. Martin Luther King Jr. deserves to have a day named after him.
What's the day?
MLK Day, baby. What a day.
Happy MLK Day to Tony Romo. Tony Romo only.
Once you hear that line, it's hard to hear Tony Romo. He said he had these half thoughts, as you pointed out on the text thread last night. He started like he was starting out a thread, headed some direction, just trailing off into nothing again and again and again.
It's amazing. He takes off without directions.
Yeah. Facts.
He's not loading anything into ways. There's nothing. It's just the mouth opens, words come out, and hopefully he gets to something succinct and profound at the end.
Loki. Facts.
But it's just everything's a Hail Mary. It's like, is it going to be caught? Is it going to get saved? Probably not.
No.
It's a low percentage play every time he starts talking about Martin Luther King Jr. Just don't do it.
The one I texted you guys about was a Derrick Henry description that basically was, he's a running back.
He's a running back.
Well, Jim, he's a guy you should give the football to.
Real criticism, though. He did rightfully point out that horrible holding call on Deion Dawkins. Romo was on top of that. But then the most obvious offensive pass interference or no pass interference is like, I don't know, that's a pretty good call. He just shoved the DB to the ground. And even Gene Steratore, who basically, unless you come at somebody with a 4x4 and a nail in it, will not call, say anything against the officials under any circumstances. It's like, Tony, I'm not sure what you're looking at. And then Tony doubled down after on the bad call. Even when he saw it in slow-mo, I could see his brain be like, oops, I messed up. And he would not make up for it. What was that? What was that all about?
Hello, friends.
I don't know. The ESPN guy, though, was also, he joined in with Aikman to bash the calls.
Russell Yerk?
Yeah, that Mahomes got.
Dude, Russell, you know the story about him.
I didn't know who he was until last weekend.
Serious ladies, man.
Russell, that's obvious. What?
He is he's like the Casanova of the NFL.
He's the Sam Hartman.
I'm surprised. If it wasn't Travis Kelce, it was Russell Yerk for Taylor Swift. Dude is a player.
Come on, daddy.
I want to start that rumor. Russell Yerk is secretly the ladies' man of the NFL.
Thought I had a chance with Russell Yerk.
Russell Yerk, officiating expert. If he's single, can you imagine going to the bar? What do you do? I'm the officiating expert on ESPN. Russell Yerk.
His last name sounds like something you threw up.
Yeah, I know.
I just Russell Yerked in the bathroom. It's like, oh, I took that last shot and I just yerked everywhere.
What?
I better go clean that up. It's like, oh, Philly, you yerked in the sink again.
Who is that guy? This could be terrible. He's on pile on it. Who got every replay wrong? I always forget his name.
Mike Carey.
Mike Carey. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, that was uncanny. It was just odd. Well, they're going to turn that one over.
Nope.
The call will stay.
I felt bad for that guy. And now he comes in. He looks like he's the magician. Following up that act.
You know what Gene Steratore's problem is? That dude should not do March Madness because I'm like, you gotta dedicate to the craft like Russell Yerk. You can't do basketball too.
Dedicate to the craft.
Poor Gene single too. Can't get a date because Russell's getting up all the girls.
Oh, well,
Russell
Gene.
Russell Yerk, ladies man.
Gene, I mean, yeah. I have no idea. Wait, Gene, what? Probably happily married. He's got a good voice, though, Gene.
Perloff just romoed his way into that one. Not know where you were going.
No. I was about to say, Gene is also a player. Like, Gene's like, he's like a crooner. Gene Steratore. Oh, my God.
No,
that
if any of the referees were going to be ladies' men, it's got to be Hockley with the guns. The senior.
He feels a little too much into weightlifting. I mean,
Women hate that. Well, you don't want to be like,
his
like
body,
the Rock,
though,
but...
He kind of looks like a... Nah, I think they're hotter refs.
I want to hear more about Steratore singing in a lounge somewhere.
I don't know. He's got a great voice, Gene Steratore, no?
He does. I agree with that.
I can see him sitting behind a piano, a glass cup
taking requests.
Yeah,
doing a little Sinatra.
Exactly.
Like, this is for all the ladies.
He's got a tux on, but the tie's undone, just hanging on his neck.
Smoking a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tip jar right on top of the top
now it's
the
in
piano.
Tulsa at 4 o'clock, so it's a weird setting, but still it works.
I gotta hand it, Troy Aikman was very critical of the refs. Romo got in there. You're right, guys are getting a little bit more of a backbone. And then there's Tom Brady, who just doesn't say anything about the referees.
By law, not allowed to say. First of all, he got killed because he wouldn't say anything about Ben Johnson. We're all like, tell us about Ben Johnson. He's like, nope. No, thank you.
Like,
I'm good.
You just interviewed this guy. He's like, yeah, I got no comment on that.
At
good luck,
all.
Kevin.
But I'm surprised Burkhart said that.
He just interviewed him. Yeah.
I think they wanted to try to be a little transparent, maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah, but I thought they would have said it without telling us that he actually interviewed him. Like, he might have said, you're part of the process, or you've been in meetings, whatever. Like, but he said, you just interviewed Ben Johnson, which I did not think we were going to get direct confirmation like that.
Yeah, confirm the actual hour-long interview.
Oh, because he's just a minority owner. He doesn't have a title with the team?
Yeah, I thought they just wanted to keep it like unknown exactly what he had done.
Mm. No, he's like, you picked up a side hustle recently, which is becoming the minority owner of the Raiders. Like, this is as close as the Raiders has been to a playoff game this meaningful in a long time.
By the way, I don't think there's any way Brady would have co-signed that Jameson Williams pass. No chance.
He hated it. He did not like that play.
Yeah. They'll definitely still give him $15 million, but I actually do wonder about that relationship, if that is something that happens.
Oh, you said Diana Rossini had an update on Ben Johnson and the Raiders, or Ben Johnson and his
He has offers to interview with the Jags, the Bears, and the Raiders, but he might not take all three. And also, Florio put it out and other people that he might stay at Detroit, just as a theory, just an unfinished business. One thing I can guarantee, I don't know about Ben Johnson, but I do know that Carl Cheffers is partying with Blake Lively and Taylor Swift tonight. Because that dude's on the scene. Carl, I know he's an official. I guess that's
Carl.
I'm not claiming like...
Good to see you, Carl.
The reason Carl Cheffers is screwing the game towards the Chiefs is for Goodell, but he also likes to hang out with these socialites.
You are starting rumors.
These are good ones.
That Carl Cheffers and Blake Lively are close. Yeah.
She's got enough drama. Leave her alone.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, Carl Cheffers hang.
It's a polyamory thing. That's slow.
Bad mouth that Justin dude.
I said hang out. I didn't say polyamorous. Jeez Louise.
What were you implying?
Yeah, they don't play Monopoly. It's not game night at the Reynolds household. Carl Cheffers doesn't do that.
Do you think Taylor Swift would have one of her friends, like Lana Del Rey or so? I guess she's married, but somebody date an official just to get favor for Travis Kelce? Like one of her single friends?
Hey,
like,
Sabrina, here's Sabrina Carpenter. Yeah. We're going to sacrifice you. Yeah. You get Hockley Jr.
Yeah. Hey, Hockley Jr., are you a fan of Sabrina Carpenter? Like, I can make that happen.
Hey, I'm going to need you to fall on this grenade for me. Like, all right, whatever it takes.
I'm going to need you to call this roughing the passer. Now we know why they give all those calls to Mahomes.
855-212-4227. All right, see you guys on the phones. Let's do this. We also have a pick for you for tonight's national championship game, Notre Dame and Ohio State.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Perloff trying to put Sabrina Carpenter and Russell Yerk together as the next power couple.
Yeah.
The officiating guy from Fox.
All of that made ESPN. No sense. It's just every time Russell Yerk comes on, I'm like, God, that's such a nerdy name for an officiating expert. Like, it's not helping. I mean, he's very good at what he does, but I mean, I think all the officiating experts are not quite critical enough because, like, I'm a yell at the officials guy. I think I lose a lot of Twitter followers because of that. People are like, would you stop yelling at the officials? Just relax.
No, I love it when Troy Aikman, Tony Romo, I love when these guys call it out because we're all watching it at home and they're human beings. John is in Rochester, was at the game yesterday. John, what'd you see from the stands?
Hey, Maggie, I called you on Friday. You got to believe in these guys. This is unbelievable. The difference was the home field advantage for sure. I mean, it was a late night for everybody. I got home at 3:30 in the morning just because nobody left their seat. And I'm a 60-year-old fan. Got to enjoy that with my 30-year-old son. Every year we get heartbroken by one play or another, and we were right down by the 5-yard line there when he dropped that 2-point conversion. Our group or our fan section was just unbelievable, saying it's our turn, but we couldn't celebrate until the onside kick because we knew that was next. And as you know, as a Buffalo fan, everything happens like last minute.
Yep.
But this time we did it. This time we did it, and we enjoyed it. And now we're off to KC, and we're going to do this thing. It's, you know, Bass hits a big 51-yarder. Everybody's doing their thing along the way, and every time Derrick Henry had that ball yesterday, our group around us was just dying. Just tackle that guy. But we enjoyed it. Nobody left the stands after we won. It was just unbelievable. And we got to do it. Next round.
John, speaking it into existence or trying to. Glad you got a great memory with your son. Those things are really special.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, usually the bad thing happens to the Bills. Now, maybe the Ravens fans will start saying a little something like that, but you have Super Bowls recently in your history, at least 2012, not that long ago, but this one.
Yeah, I don't think the Ravens have two in this millennium, so they're fine. Buffalo needs this thing.
Yeah, you think so? Andy is in Pittsburgh. Andy, what's up, dude? Andy. Oh, got to put you on hold. Okay, Jeff is in Tucson. Hey, Jeff.
Maggie, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, dude. How you feeling about your Buckeyes ahead of this big game?
I'll tell you what, I'm feeling good, but I want to tell Furloff something.
Yeah.
Furloff, I took that 8.5 on the other side and won with it. I got it Sunday morning. And the other thing is I got 2+ touchdowns for 2 running backs. And Maggie, I took Josh as one of the 2+ touchdowns in my bet yesterday.
Amazing. Nailed it.
Yeah, so we won that. Now it's all about the Buckeyes. So
turn our attention.
Let's look at something. You know, you got to have a little luck. The Bills got a little lucky, but you got to have that to get to the big game. I'm going to say that. So that worked out for you. The luck is running with you. Just like that last caller said, it's your time.
Yeah, Jeff, and thank you, and good luck to your Buckeyes tonight. You know, I don't think luck exists when you're playing the Chiefs, though, right? Like, you have to play the perfect game. Yeah, maybe you have to get a little bit lucky. Mm. Every champion does, but don't you just, you have to play the perfect game. And this was not the perfect game that Buffalo played. It was a cleaner game, though, than the Ravens played.
There are a couple of lucky games. I mean, there was the Bucs Super Bowl. The Chiefs O-line got hurt. I don't know if that's a lucky game.
Is that luck? I don't know.
I don't know. And also, too, the Bengals game. The Chiefs got conservative on offense. I don't know exactly what happened in that game. But generally, like, they're not unbeatable. I think, I don't know, luck sounds a little thin to describe what's going to happen in this game. You think it's just going to be luck for the Chiefs? I understand what you're saying. Like, I just think that they can't keep winning every close game. There's just no way. No team does that.
Well, they would say, watch us.
But that being said, too, the Bills, like, they might not control the game like they did against the Ravens. Like, they need to get control of this game. Because the Chiefs will do what they did to the Texans, just bleed them to death.
Really quick, tonight. So I have 2 bets tonight for our show bets. I have Ohio State, and I was laying the 8.5, and I also have the under in this game. Perloff, how do you see it?
I think it's closer. I think Ohio State wins a close, ugly game. Notre Dame will just ugly it up. That's what I see. I just don't think at the end they have enough talent.
I think that it's a little bit of injuries, too. You know, we talked about Detroit and them being decimated by injuries. Notre Dame's had their fair share of injuries, where Ohio State comes in relatively healthy. I think that Ohio State's going to be able to throw the ball on Notre Dame.
But when Ohio State, the one thing, Ohio State, when they play teams with no offense, they run the ball. And Notre Dame has no offense.
That is true. Enjoy the game tonight. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, callers say you guys were great. The Weedos, the coffee drinkers. We'll be back tomorrow with a full recap of tonight's national championship game.